We only recently, I guess it's been a number of weeks now since the collapse of the standoff there at the National Wildlife Refuge down in Oregon. The land rights militants, what have you, that hard to define them really. People call them terrorists, but they were an armed band of right-wingers who took over the wildlife refuge down there and held it for a better part of a month, and then a couple folks held on for another couple weeks before they gave up and were arrested. But, we here on the Joe Show and other progressive programs said for a long time, why wasn't something done sooner if these had been, say, protesters of color, a band of folks of color? We suspect that there would have been action against them a lot quicker. Also, of course, a couple of the leaders were sons of Cliven Bundy, the Nevada rancher who led an armed standoff at his ranch back in 2014. The federal government backed down then, and where are we today? Well, joining me now is a conservative commentator who says that it was a long time coming, talking about the arrest of Cliven Bundy and his sons and the rest of this gang, and he joins us to tell us why. David Jenkins is president of Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship, and David, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Now, what is your thinking here? We haven't heard a lot of voices on the right come out. In fact, I had Ted Cruz campaigning in Nevada trying to appeal to this group of folks who feel that the federal government is overstepping its bounds and managing these federal lands and taking in grazing fees from ranchers, that sort of thing. But so we haven't heard a lot of conservative voices talking about this issue or why people like Cliven Bundy needed to be have the long arm of the law come after him.
Yeah, well, I guess Ted Cruz found out that there weren't as many of the people who felt that way as he had hoped since he came in third in that primary. We've been sort of pounding on this. Why has it taken so long to arrest the folks that were involved in the 2014 standoff in Nevada? These people pointed high-powered rifles at law enforcement officers. Cliven Bundy's been thumbing his nose at the law and court orders for 20 years. And so you had all this happen, and then, the government backed down, and then you heard nothing. And, like with most bullies, if they think they've got somebody to back down, then that's only going to embolden them. And so, I think the refuge takeover, that you were referring to earlier, is an outgrowth of in this case the Obama administration wringing their hands and not pursuing enforcement and justice in this situation much sooner. I mean, 2 years is a long time to wait to let these people think that they've won and made the government back down when they're clearly violating the law and threatening law enforcement officers' lives.
I would agree with you on that this was a long time coming, that Cliven Bundy, I think most of us watched that standoff, saw those high-power weapons being trained on federal agents, and here they were simply trying to enforce the law and, enforce the fact that this rancher hadn't paid, $1-2 million worth of grazing fees over decades. And in spite of getting a deal on, being able to graze his cattle on this federal land, but I think at the same time you have to look at, some of the historical perspective. I mean, we had standoffs with conservative groups. We had, Ruby Ridge, and we also had Waco, and situations that were, if not over similar issues, were standoffs with conservative people who were acting out the law. They turned out tragic.
Yeah, well, one of the things I would take issue with, and one of one of our other concerns here is that folks on the left, or progressive folks, like to categorize these people as conservative. They put that conservative label on them. But in reality, they're radicals. I mean, there's, Cliven Bundy says he doesn't even recognize the United States as existing. These people who want to enforce their will through armed conflict when our founding fathers and our Constitution, our system of government, everything supports doing things through, democratic processes, and they want to just toss that out and take us down the road to anarchy. There is nothing even remotely conservative about that kind of activity and that kind of thinking. If you explore their thinking, more deeply, you see it's far more unhinged than most people even realize. But, so a lot of folks on the left like to call them conservative, but, that's just simply not the case. They're not conservative. Now, there's folks on the right who, side with them, but I would argue that they're not conservative either. They may be libertarian or they may be something else, but they're certainly not conservative.
Okay, well, and that aside, but they, and I would agree that these are people who are, they are outside of the law. They're violating the law, obviously, by their actions. But at the same time, these types of standoffs have not turned out well for the government or for the people involved in at least several incidents, a tragedy down in Waco with the standoff with those folks there. And I wouldn't lump the Branch Davidians in with your average conservative Americans, obviously. I mean, they had something going on there. There was a cult situation, apparently. But here was a standoff between the government and anti-government forces. And how, I guess, it seems to me that over the years that the government learned that to approach some of these situations with more constraint, say, okay, let's take our time here. It paid off in this instance. Sure, it took a couple of years to get Cliven Bundy in jail. It took less than that to get his sons in jail, but now they're facing charges. Cliven Bundy's facing charges for that standoff. Didn't it ultimately come out well? And I know there's been criticism, as I started out saying, that there's been criticism over, comparing some of these situations to how, say, minorities are treated when they come into contact with the law. But I think what a lot of people were saying, criticism of what was going on there, were saying, here we've got these white militants who are, they have barricaded themselves inside this federal facility, and they're armed, and the government's showing constraint. If people of color were doing the same thing, they maybe wouldn't show that constraint. But what I think people were really wanting to see is let's treat all these situations the same, regardless of who is behind the barricades. Do you get what I'm saying?
No, and I agree. We should treat it all the same. I think the FBI did play it very smart when it came to the refuge takeover, because they clearly had a plan. When those guys drove, felt like they had all this freedom in the world, and they tried to drive to John Day, Oregon, and they got arrested. So they had a plan, and I don't really fault that. The thing that troubled us was the long time of dealing with the 2014 incident, and I am thinking that, that's going to create some other incident, and in all likelihood, it did create this refuge issue, but it could have been something else too, and it could have resulted in a loss of life. So, Theodore Roosevelt, he probably put it best when he said, the law must be enforced with resolute firmness, because, weakness in enforcing it means that there is no justice and no law. And I would say that applies, that should apply to everyone, regardless of who they are or how armed they are or whatever. But you just, you can take your time, you can play smart, but at the same time, you can't just let people like this that are bullies just think that they can get away with breaking the law with impunity and threatening people with impunity.
Well, and I would agree with you there. I think that it's interesting to be on the same page with somebody who's a conservative. We do need to deal with these people, and I think 2 years is a long time to wait. I guess that I don't know about you. I haven't been watching that Cliven Bundy situation, really intently since that standoff was over, and I'm just speculating here that maybe federal agents thought, okay, let's sit back, let him, he likely is going to pull something else, but let's just wait until we have an opportunity to grab him. I don't know, was he living kind of just, you know, staying on the ranch, not coming
out? No, he traveled around, but he always traveled with bodyguards that were armed.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, nobody seemed to address that. And then, you know, it could have been even uglier because before the wildlife refuge takeover back last summer, there were some BLM contractors out surveying land and doing some tests near the Bundy Ranch, and you know, they got shot at at nighttime when they were camping, and they were forced to leave. And that's the thing, you know, these people, you know, want to just exert their will by force, and it's just classic bullying. And I just wish the administration had realized, you know, how to deal with a bully earlier on, and we might not have, you know, had the wildlife refuge take over and the loss of life associated with that.
Ultimately, though, I think it's unfair to hang this on the Obama administration, the whole administration, or that this is the approach of the president. I think that's an unfair characterization. What we're really talking about here is an agency that or agencies that have dealt with these kinds of people. They're there on the ground. They know what the threats are, and they've got a sense of how to deal with it. And they're the ones who are making the calls. The president isn't on the phone from the White House saying, okay, stand down, or anything like this. I think it's an unfair characterization that this is somehow, in, you know, Obama's fault, that the basic enforcement techniques that have been employed out here in the West.
Yeah, well, you know, we also have, you know, BLM officials being threatened on a quite regular basis by people like this. There's been events that BLM officials were supposed to show up at, and they've been told to connect by video conference because there were threats on them. And, you know, that's the kind of, you know, lawless type environment that, you know, we need to try to get back in the, you know, get back in control of, so that BLM officials can do their job, and people can recreate on public lands without fearing that some of these radicals are going to, threaten their lives or prevent them from enjoying our public lands.
Well, and I think that's fair, and absolutely. I think it's good to know that there are a conservative group that's out there, and I hope that you can get the ear and the attention of more conservatives and talk about this. We have moves on the conservative Republicans. I don't think you can deny it, that are the politicians in Washington D.C. that are actively trying to lessen the federal government's control of many of these public lands, trying to, I mean, there's legislation, I mentioned Ted Cruz, but Mike Lee of Utah and some of these politicians.
Rob Bishop is probably one of the worst. You're trying to turn over land to private interests, and but it's not conservative. I mean, you know, what he's trying to do is not conservative. I mean, you didn't see Ronald Reagan turning over our public land to states and private interests. He understood it. I mean, he said, this is our patrimony. This is what we leave our children, and our great moral responsibility is to leave it to them either as we found it or better than we found it. That's the conservative attitude.
We saw the George W. Bush administration, Dick Cheney, easily handing public lands, or at least the access to public lands, over to oil and gas interests, and say that conservatives aren't part of this, I think, is unfair.
No, there are people who claim to be conservative that are part of it, but you know, being in the pockets of special, or having, you know, in special interest and doing their bidding, or being very libertarian and thinking the government shouldn't be involved in anything, those people, they attach the conservative label to themselves to make them more acceptable. But in reality, their views are very radical, and they're not conservative. And so one of the things our organization is about is trying to preach real conservatism and let people understand that conservation, responsible stewardship, and law and order, those are all conservative things that we need to stay true to.
Mm-hmm. Although I have to say that I hear a lot of conservative politicians saying, you know, we need to open up our public lands, we need to, that it's all about mining, about fracking, about drilling, about exploiting these lands rather than preserving them, as I hear the message from you being. And as I said, that heartens me that there is a conservative group that is out there that's talking about this.
Yeah, I would say that what those guys are promoting is probably more liberal than it is conservative. It's kind of a, if it feels good, do it attitude, like the hippie movement in the 60s, where everybody was like, if it feels good, do it. They didn't want to be told what to do. Well, this is the same thing here. These people don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to conform to the norms of society, and they rebel. And just because they call themselves conservative just doesn't make it so.
Well, they're certainly not liberals in my book.
Well, you might be more conservative than you think.
I don't think so. I think you'll be shocked at how non-conservative I am. But David Jenkins, it's good to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us today. And as I said, I keep getting this message out to those conservative politicians in Washington and elsewhere who ought to turn our public lands over to special interests and corporate interests. And appreciate your time.
We're definitely fighting that. So we're on the same side there.
Good deal. We'll take a quick break. Be back with more here on The Joe Show as we continue here on AM 930 Progressive Talk. Our phone number is always 360-734-5697.